For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's April the 3rd, in Treyasa we are in Amos. We had an introductory shiur last time, so we're in Perek Aleph. We're really at Pasuk Beis. I'll read the first Pasuk again anyway. Divrei Amos Asha Yov Anok Dima Mi Tekoa, the words of Amos that he was of the shepherds in Tekoa. Asha Chazal Yisrael, that he saw vision, he saw a nevuah on Yisrael. Bimei Uziah Melech Yehuda, in the days of Uziah, the king of Yehuda. Uvimei Yoravam Ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, and in the days of Yoravam Ben Yoash, the king of Yisrael. Shana Asayim Ifnei Haroash, 2 years before the great earthquake. We spoke about that last time. Vayomar, and he said, Hashem Yitzion Yishag, Hashem from Tzion will roar. Umi Yerushalayim Yiten Kolo, and from Yerushalayim will give his voice. V'avlu ne'os haro'im, and the living places of the shepherds,
pastures,
of the pastures, okay, will be destroyed. V'yavesh rosh ha'karmel, dry out the otherwise fertile areas, the good areas will become destroyed. So that line clearly indicates that there is going to be some muster coming up. This is going to be some scathing pronouncements that he's going to make. Now, starting with Pasuk Gimel, we have a refrain that is unique to Amos, which goes on 6 or 7 times, as we will see. And it begins as follows: Komar Hashem, so says Hashem. Al shlosha pishei Damasek, on 3 sins of Damasek, of Damascus, ve'arba'a, and on 4, lo ashivenu, I will not return him. Now, what that means is that Damasek has sinned, has done things wrong. And Hashem says that for 3, I can let it go. But once you get to a 4th one or more, then I will not let it go, meaning I'm going to punish. And Damasek has sinned well more than 4 times, and therefore Damasek is going to get punished. This is based on a pasuk in Eov, which Rashi brings. But Rashi, the pasuk in Eov in Perek Lamed Gimel, chapter 33, in pasuk Chav Tes 29, after talking about people doing averus and doing tshuva, the pasuk says, Hain kol eila yif al kel. All of this Hashem will do, meaning Hashem will work with the tshuva of a person. He will punish, but will then heal the person when the person does tshuva. Pamayim shalosh im gover. 2-3 times with a man. Which means 2 or 3 times Hashem will work with the person, punishing the person just enough that the person will do teshuva, and then the person will get healed from their sickness. But after 3 times, there is no longer any guarantee that that's what's going to happen. The implication is that once one gets to a 4th time and on, then already Hashem may punish without the opportunity to do tshuva and actually destroy the sinner. So here, almost building on that pasuk in Eov, is saying that phrase, Kamar Hashem al shlosha pishei damesek, on 3 sins of damesek. That's, we could work with that, but valar ba'ah, but for 4, lo ashivenu, I will not return him, which means now there's going to be real punishment. And that refrain will be repeated several times here in Amos, referring to different nations. The first one is Damasek. Damasek is actually a place, it's a city, but it's referring to those who live there. And it is the nation of Aram that is based in Damasek. So what is the sin that they're being punished for? Al dusham bacharutzos habarzel es hagilad, on their trampling Gilad. Gilad is one of the areas in Eber HaYarden on the other side of the Jordan River, which is where the tribes of Yehuda and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh were. So they, because Damesek trampled Gad with the Charutzos HaBarzel. Barzel's iron. Charutzos HaBarzel, this was an iron sharp, it had many sharp pieces to it. It was used to break up when dealing with the ground and dealing with grain, to break up hard items. So they would use this almost like a grater that would be used to break things up. So this tool was used to trample the people of Gilad. So in order to be for that, Hashem says, I'm not letting Damascus get away with it any longer. And because of that, Pasuk Dalin, V'shilachti esh beveis Chazael, I will send a fire against the house of Chazael, V'achla Armanos ben Hadad, and it will consume the palaces of Ben Hadad. Chazael and Ben Hadad were kings over Aram. V'shavarti b'riach Damascus, I will break the bolt of Damascus, meaning the bolt that keeps their gate closed of the wall. V'chrati oshev mi bikas oven, and I will destroy all those who dwell in bikas oven, which is a place in Damesek. V'somech shevet mi beis eden, and I will also destroy the supporting staff that is in beis eden, which is also a place in Damesek. V'galu im am aram kira, and the nation of Aram will be exiled to Kir, Amar Hashem, so says Hashem. In the end, Sancheirev, who is the king of Ashur, will conquer Aram and take the people of Aram and send them into Golus. Rashi here puts down a general rule that when the Nevi'im, when they prophesy about destruction of the nations of the world, meaning not about the Jews, but about the destruction of the nations of the world, and they talk about one nation of the world bringing destruction against another one of the nations of the world, and it's neither one of the Jews, then if the prophecy is before Sancheirev, then they're talking about Sancheirev, because he's the one who conquered the whole world and exiled everybody to different places. If the prophecy is after Sancheirev, then they're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. So Amos and Yeshaya both live before Sancheirev or during Sancheirev. They're talking about Sancheirev when they mention one nation attacking another nation or hurting another nation. But for example, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, who live after Sancheirev, so they're talking about, when they mention one a non-Jewish nation punishing another one, they're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. So here this is a reference to Sancheirev. Chazael and Ben-Hadad, being kings over Aram, brought great destruction to the Jewish people, which is what's being alluded to here, which is why they're being punished. We learned about this in Malachim Beis. In Malachim Beis, in Perek Ches, in chapter 8, so Ben-Hadad got very sick, the king, and he sent his son Chazael to the Navi Elisha to find out if he'll get better or not. So you may recall, when we learn this, that the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, it says, Vayomer Elav Elisha, Elisha said to Chazael, Lech Emor, go say, Lo Chayo Sichye, you will not live. Go tell your father, Ben-Hadad, you will not live. And then he says to Chazael, V'herani Hashem kimos yamus, Hashem, show me that he will die. Then the pasuk says, Vayamed es panav, and he held his face, which means Elisha suppressed the pain on his own face. Vayasem ad bosh, and he was able to hold off as long as he could, for an extended period of time. But then, Vayefk Isha Elokim, then the man of God cried. Elisha cried. Vayomer Chazoel, Chazoel said to Elisha, Madu Adoni Vochel, why is my master crying? Vayomer, and he said, Ki adati, because I know, Es asher ta'aseh livnei Yisrael, all the evil you will do to the Bnei Yisrael, ra'ah, all the evil you do to the Bnei Yisrael. Mivtzereihem tishalach ba'esh, their fortified, their great cities you'll put into fire. Uvachureihem b'cherev ta'arog, and their young men you will kill by the sword. Va'olaleihem tiratesh, and their young children you will crush. Va'roseihem tivakea, and their pregnant women you will strike. So the Elisha sees Nevuah what Aram is going to do to the Jewish people, and he cries over that. So here this is an allusion to what Aram did to the Jewish people, and because of that they themselves are punished, as Amos here is saying in his prophecy. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, back in Amos. Now here we have that refrain again. Kamar Hashem, so says Hashem, al shlosha pishe Aza, on three sins of Aza. Aza is from the Plishtim. We would know that place as Gaza, because Aza is not really Aza, it's really Aza, which sounds like a Gaza, right? It's the G is really an ayin in Hebrew. That's true for many.
Let's go with the G.
Yeah, that's the guttural ayin is really. It sounds like a G. That's why you get Gaza. There are other places like that in Israel, like what? I'll tell you one second. There are a few words like that that are translated with a G sound. Just as you find the Y is a J, like Joseph, that's right. Because the J in Latin is pronounced Y, but in English it's pronounced J, so that's why it becomes Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing. But the I in that guttural I in is translated as a G, even though it's really an ah, right? I'll think of another word. There are a few words like that in today's. Today's translation of places and names. No, I'll think about it. Okay. Anyway, so this is talking about Gaza, which is the Plishtim. The Gaza Strip is historically where the Plishtim lived. Kamar Hashem al shlosha pishei Gaza, on three sins of Gaza, v'alar ba'a lo ashivenu, and on the fourth one I will not return him, which means I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to punish him. Al haglosam galus shlema, on their making a complete galus, a complete exile, lahasgir le'edom, to give over to Edom. When Edom attacked the Jewish people, then Aza contributed and made sure the Jews did not get away. Any Jew that tried to escape through Aza was captured and given over to the Edomim. So for that, Aza is punished. V'shilach the esh b'chomas Aza, it will send fire in the wall of Aza, v'achla armano seha, it will consume its palaces, its buildings. V'chrati yoshev me Ashdod, and I will cut off those who dwell in Ashdod, which is another city of the Plishtim. V'somech shevet me Ashkelon, and the supporting staff in Ashkelon, or from Ashkelon, another city of the Plishtim. V'ashivosi yadi al Ekron, and I will pass my hand over Ekron, which is a punishment. Va'avdu sheiris plishtim, and they will be lost, the remnant of the plishtim. Amar Hashem Elokim, says Hashem Elokim. So that's the second nation that almost prophesizes against. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Kol Amar Hashem, says Hashem, al shlosha pishei tzor, on the three sins of tzor, which is Tyre. Val arba'a lo ashivenu, on the fourth one I will not return him, which means I'm going to punish him. On what? Similar to what Aza did. Al haskiram golus shlema le'edom. They also made a complete golus for Edom. They gave over Jewish people. V'lo zachru bris achim. They did not remember the covenant of brothers. This is a reference to the king of Tzor. Back in the days of Shlomo HaMelech was Chirom. Chiram, the king of Tzor, made a covenant with Shlomo HaMelech and contributed in the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash, where Shlomo HaMelech used some craftsmen from Tzor to help construct the first Beis HaMikdash. And Chiram was part of that. Hiram had a covenant with Shlomo, but here Tsar later did not remember the covenant of the brothers, meaning with Shlomo, and they instead gave over Jews to Edom. For this reason, Pasuk Yud, Vishilachti Esh Bechomas Tsor, I will send fire in the wall of Tsor, Va'achla Armin Osa, it will consume its great structures. No, this was already happened.
That's right.
All this happened already. So that's three. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishay Edom, on the three sins of Edom, Velar Ba'alo Ashiveno, on the fourth one, I will not return him. Al Rodfo Vacherev Achiv, for his chasing his brother by the sword, chasing Yaakov by the sword, Veshiches Rachamav, and he destroyed his own mercy, Vayitro Flaad Apo, and his anger it tears up forever. There's an ongoing anger. Ve'evroso shemara netzach, and his anger is guarded forever. Which means, on the simple level, it means that he is constantly, his anger is constantly directed at Yaakov. It's never abates. However, it also refers to Hashem's constant anger at Edom, particularly at Amalek, who is a subset of Edom. That Hashem's anger towards Amalek is forever, v'avraso shemara netzach. V'shilach t'yesh b'seiman, I will send fire against Teman, that is Yemen, because that is historically where Edom was, until they moved over to Italy, but that was the original place. V'achla arminos batzra, and it will consume the great structures of Batzra. Now, Batzra is a city that is really in Moab, but it's on the border of Moab and Edom, and we find that the second king of Edom came from Batzra, came from Moab. Moab helped Edom in maintaining its royalty, in maintaining its royal line. And so Moab will be punished along with Edom in the future. But here, Batzra is punished along with Edom because of its assisting Edom in its evil. Pasuk Gimel, verse 13, Komar Hashem al shlosha pishei v'nei Amon, on the three sins of the b'nei Amon, v'al arba'a lo ashiven, on the fourth one I will not return him. Al bik'am haroz ha-gilad, on there, now bikua means to break open. This means to cause to miscarry. The pregnant ones of Gilad, again, Gilad are where the Jews were living. Why did they want to make sure that the pregnant women miscarried? Leman harchives kvulam, in order for them to expand their boundaries, as Rashi explains, they didn't want anybody to come forward in the next generation and claim the land. And so they systematically made sure the Jews did not have children. So for that reason, v'hitzati eish b'chomas Rabbah, I will light a fire in the walls of Rabbah. Rabbah is the large city of Ammon. V'achlar menosel, will consume its great structures. Bisrua b'yom melchama, with the blowing of the shofar, on the day of war. Bisar b'yom sufa, in the sar is a tempest, on a wild wind, in the day of a storm. V'halach malkam ba'gola, their king will go into exile. Hu v'sarav yachtav amar Hashem, he and his officers together, says Hashem. So we have had, if we had it all up so far, we started, how many?
Four.
No, I think we had six.
Five.
No?
Huh?
Let's see what he had. We had Damasek.
Yeah.
Then we had Aza.
Right.
That's two.
Sorry.
Then we had Sor. Then we had Edom.
And Ammon.
Okay, that's five. And now, number six, Perek Beis, Komar Hashem, Al Shlosha Pishei Moav, on the three sins of Moav, V'al Arba'a Lo Ashiven, on the fourth one I will not return him. Now here we're going to have something which is a little bit surprising. Al Sarfo Atzmos Melech Edom Lasid, that they burned the bones of the king of Edom for Sid as plaster. Which means they took the bones, they burned them and put them into the wall. That's the pun. That's what they did wrong. Now, until now, everything that was done were things that were pretty horrific and therefore deserved punishment. This doesn't seem like it's so bad. And yet, next pasuk, v'shilach t'yesh b'moav, I will send fire against Moav, v'achlar menos ha-ka-krios, and it will consume the structures of this place of Krios, umes b'sha'on Moav, and Moav will die in destruction, b'srua b'kol shofar, with the blowing of the sound of the shofar. V'chrati shofet mikirba, will cut off judges from its midst. V'chol sareha herog imo, and all of its officers I will kill with him. Amar Hashem, says Hashem. So what is this business of burning the bones of the king of Edom? Now it is true that Hashem demands that royalty be treated respectfully. Even when the royalty are not behaving properly, we still find that there's an expectation that they're treated properly. Moshe is told, and Aaron, they are told, that they are to treat Paro with respect. Vayetzaveim el b'nei Yisrael, that they were commanded to treat the Jews properly. Vel Paro melech Mitzrayim, they were also commanded to treat Paro properly, with respect. Even though Paro was a Rasha, but because of the position of royalty, they were expected to treat him, Paro, with respect. So here, for the king, for Moav, to burn the bones of the king of Edom disrespectfully, even though the king of Edom was no tzaddik, nevertheless, there was a punishment for that. But in addition to this, this is a reference to a different story that we had back in Sefer Melachim and Melachim Beis. Melachim Beis, in Perek Gimel, we had an incident where the Melech Yisrael, that's the Jewish king, the northern kingdom, and Edom made an alliance, and they attacked Moab, and they were defeating Moab. There was a big war, and they were defeating Moab. So as this is happening, the pasuk tells us, Melachim Beis Perek Gimel, pasuk Chavah verse 26, Vayar Melech Moav, the king of Moav saw, ki chazak mimenu hamilchama, that the war was too strong for him. Vayikach also shvameos ish sholef cherev, he took for himself 700 men who had drawn their swords, lavkia el melech Edom, to break through the line to the king of Edom. V'lo yacholu, they were unable to do so. They couldn't do it. Yeah, okay. So then what happened is, now you may recall this incident, Pasuk Chavzayim, verse 27, Vayikaches b'noa b'char, he took his son, his firstborn, Arshimloch Tachtov, that would rule in his stead, the heir to his throne, Vaya'alehu Ola al Hachoma, he brought his son up as a sacrifice on the wall. In other words, he slaughtered his son as a sacrifice. Vayihi Ketzef Gadol al Yisrael, there was a great plague against the Jewish people. Vayisu Me'alav, and they traveled away from him. Vayashuvu La'aretz, they returned to Eretz Yisrael, and that saved Moav from utter destruction. So he took his firstborn son and essentially offered him as a sacrifice, child sacrifice. And because of that, there was a great plague against the Jewish people. So it would appear from here that somehow this pagan this pagan offering somehow created a plague against the Jewish people. There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether the king of Moab did this as an offering to Hashem, obviously a mistake, obviously an offering that Hashem would not want. Nevertheless, it was done l'shem shamayim, it was an offering to Hashem, or if it was an offer to the Avodah Zarah. That's a machlokas. So the one who says it was an offering to Hashem explains that even though the offering was a bad offering, it's not what Hashem would want, it still spoke badly of the Jewish people, because at that time the Jewish people were idolaters, and they were offering sacrifices to idols. So even though the king Gomov didn't offer an animal, he offered a person, which is a terrible thing, but at least he recognized that Hashem is the one to offer the sacrifice to. And that created the Jews look bad, and that created a plague against the Jewish people, not because of the offer of the sacrifice, but because the Jews were worshipping idols. The other understanding is a similar type of understanding, which is that he offered it to the Avodah Zarah, which then triggered judgment against him, because how could he do such a despicable act and offer any offering to an Avodah Zarah, let alone a human being? But then in Shamayim, the heavenly court said, well, the Jews aren't doing anything better. They're also offering to Avodah Zarah, and therefore triggered a plague against the Jewish people. Either way, triggered a plague against the Jewish people, and that saved Moab from the war. We learned this back in Malachim, that he offered his firstborn son. However, the Mefarshim say, based on the Pasuk here in Amos, that when it says he took his firstborn son, remember the previous Pasuk said he tried to break through to the king of Edom, and he couldn't break through. Then the Pasuk says he took his firstborn son. It's a pronoun. His firstborn son. Whose firstborn son? Simple meaning is it's the firstborn son of the king of Moab. But the understanding is it was the firstborn son of the king of Edom. That when he could not break through to Edom, he had as a captive the firstborn son of the king of Edom, and he slaughtered him on the wall so that the Edom people could see what he was doing. And that created a friction between Edom and the rest and the Jewish people, because now they lost the heir to their throne. And that triggered a plague against the Jewish people. So when Amos is saying over here that the reason why Moab is being singled out for punishment by Hashem is because of burning the bones of the king of Edom, that is a reference to Moab killing the firstborn son of the king of Edom, and in so doing, creating a terrible plague against the Jewish people. So the punishment is because of the plague that he triggered because of slaughtering the firstborn son of Edom. That's the way the Mefarshim explain how to link the behavior of the king of Moab, that because of his behavior there is such a terrible punishment. Back in Amos, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. So we've had 6 so far, and here we have the 7th. Komar Hashem al shlosha pishe Yehuda. Now we're getting close to home. The 3 sins of Yehuda. Ve'alar ba'alo ashivenu, for the 4th one I will not return him. Al ma'asam es toras Hashem, that they have rejected the Torah of Hashem. Ve'chukav lo shamaru, and its statutes they did not keep. Vayas kizvehem, and their lies have led them astray, which was the Avodah Zarah that they've been doing, Ashaholku Avosam Achareyem, that their ancestors went after them. And because of that, Vishilachti Aish Biyehuda, I will send fire against Yehuda, for Achla Armanos Yerushalayim, and it will consume the great structures of Yerushalayim. So unfortunately, lumped together with the other 6 nations that are mentioned here is Yehuda. But that's it for the prophecy on Yehuda. But the next one, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, this is the one that Amos is really here to speak about. The other ones were all introductions. But Pasuk Vav now is what Amos is really going to focus on. And here, starting with Pasuk Vav, is the beginning of the Haftorah for Parashas Vayeshev. What happens in Parashas Vayeshev of note? A terrible story begins in Parashas Vayeshev. Who knows? The sale of Yosef. That's right. So here, Pasuk Vav begins the Musar, the criticism of Malchus Yisrael of the Northern Kingdom. Ka'amar Hashem, so says Hashem, al shlosha pishei Yisrael, on three sins of Yisrael, v'al arba'alo ashivenu, and on the fourth one I will not return him. Al mikram ba'kesef tzadik, for their selling for money, the tzadik, the evyon ba'avor na'aloyim, and the poor person on account of na'aloyim. Now, the word na'al can mean a shoe, and the word na'al can mean a lock, as in like something you lock with a key, a lock. A lock, L-O-C-K. The people of Yisrael, the Northern Kingdom, who did many things, many sins, and we are approaching, as we mentioned in Hosea already, we are approaching the end of the Northern Kingdom. Once Sancheriv hits the scene, he's going to take the Northern Kingdom into Golus. That's what's going to happen. That's the 10 tribes. We're approaching the end because of all of their sins. So, one of the things that they did is they took advantage of the poor people. So, first of all, they sold for money the tzaddik. The judges were corrupt judges, and the tzaddik here means not that the person was such a great tzaddik, but they were righteous in judgment, meaning the one who should have been found to be the one who should have been found innocent and should have won the court case, the monetary court case, they ruled as guilty in order to get money, meaning they took bribes in order to corrupt judgment. And the Avyon Ba'avor Na'alayim, the poor person, in order, now we're going to use the translation of lock, which is as follows, that the although we don't live in an agricultural society, but when people lived in an agricultural society, it was of great benefit if you could have your properties, if you had more than one property, you had several properties, it was of great benefit that they be contiguous. To have separate properties in different places meant a lot of work, because in order to plow, sow, whatever it is, in order to harvest whatever the land is, you would have to have either separate teams of people and animals and tools to take care of your various holdings in different places, or you would have to go through the costly process of transporting your team of people and animals and tools from one field to another, which may have been a great distance apart. But if you were able to have all your fields be contiguous, there would be no need for that. You could have one team, which would begin in one field, finish that field, and then continue into your next field, then into your next field, and into your next field, and without moving to another field, you would be able to do all the work that was necessary in all the fields at one time. That was of great advantage. Sometimes it happened that the judges would themselves own real estate. The real estate they were endeavoring to make them contiguous, and there would be some destitute person that would have their last holding, the last field, but it was in a pesky place. It was in between the holdings of the judges. So they would find the person guilty in order that the person would need money. If they would need money, they would need to sell their field, and the judge would be available to buy the field from them in order, the Evyon, the poor person, ba'avur na'alayim, so they could lock their fields together. The word lock over here, meaning not lock as in keeping people out, but to lock them together, to bring them together into one contiguous set of fields. So it would be locked together. Like if you're missing a piece in a puzzle, and you find that puzzle and it locks everything together. So that's what they endeavor to do. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. The more the medrash over here is that this is a reference to the sale of Yosef. And that is al michram ba kesef tzadik, they sold the tzadik for money. The brothers sold the tzaddik for money. Ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim, and the poor person on account of shoes. The Medrash says that after they sold Yosef for 20 kesef, that's what it says in the pasuk, that the money was then used to purchase shoes. And therefore it says over here, ve'evyon ba'avur na'alayim, and this reference to shoes is made when we read about the Asara Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs, which is read about on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. But on Yom Kippur, when we read it in Musaf, in the Chazar Sashatz of Musaf, before we say Slichos, we read about, or it's part of the Slichos, we read about the Asara Haruge Malchus. So there, it says that the Roman general, the Roman king, he demanded that the Torah be told to him. And when he got to the part about Yosef, he said, "What has been done to punish the Jewish people for this?" And there was no response. And therefore he said, "It is my job to punish the Jewish people." And the way he did it was that over there in the piyut, in the poem over there, it says that he filled a room with shoes, a large hall full of shoes, and he brought before him the great Talmidei Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, including Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. He brought them before him, and he said that what has been done for the sale of Yosef, and since the Jews have not been punished for it, there's not been an atonement, then I am going to punish, and I'm going to do this by killing 10 great Jews to make up for the sale of Yosef, since Yosef was sold by 10 of tribes. There were 12 tribes, but Binyamin was not involved in the sale. The other 10 sold or were held liable for selling Yosef. So he filled the room with shoes because of the fact that the money was used to buy shoes. And that's referenced over here. There's there was at one time a well-known statement that was made by Rav Yisachar Frand in one of his tshuva drashas. It might have been on a Tisha B'Av discussion, I don't remember. But he observed, I don't remember if this was his own observation or if he was quoting somebody else, but the observation that in Auschwitz, that in one of the rooms there, you can find an enormous, immense amount of shoes. Just this huge, huge, huge collection of shoes that were taken from all of the victims before they were killed. And it's one of the enduring pictures of Auschwitz, is this picture of Jewish shoes with obviously nobody walking in them. And it has become symbolic of the incredible loss of life and destruction and suffering of the Jews in the Holocaust. So, again, I don't know who made the observation, but he said it, that why shoes? And perhaps it is a reference to the sale of Yosef, just as we have over here, the sale of was for shoes, and therefore shoes have become symbolic of punishment to the Jewish people for that terrible incident of the sale of Yosef. But here, this pasuk in Amos alludes to the shoes as what was with the money was used for. Now, here on in this was the first pasuk of the Haftar for Parashas Vayeshev. It goes on for a while. It will be very critical, as we've seen before, both in Hosea and in Yoel, that there was some serious criticism of the Jewish people, particularly of the Northern Kingdom. We're going to see that here as well in Amos now, starting with this pasuk, with pasuk Vav, with verse 6. And it's going to go on for a while, for the balance of Perek Beis of the second chapter, and moving into Perek Gimel. Eventually, as was the pattern with Hosea and with Yoel, there will be a point where the tone will change, and there'll be some conciliatory statements about tshuva and about coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that will change, but first we're going to have to endure this pretty scathing criticism of the Jewish people. Unlike Hosea and Yoel, this is not going to be the end of Amos. Amos has more discussion beyond this, but this is the part that we're in right now, and right now it's going to mimic some of what we saw before. So we'll read a little bit further. I don't think we're going to have time to really go through this thoroughly, but at least we'll be able to cover a little bit more. Hashoaf, Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Hashoafim al afar eretz berosh dalim. Shoaf means like to have designs upon, to look at with intent to harm. So they look at the dust of the earth, which is the people who are in the dust of the earth, the lowly people, Birosh Dalim, at the heads of the impoverished ones. They look at them in order to get their money, whatever they have left. V'derech Anavim Yatu, and the way of the Anavim, of the humble ones, they turn aside, which means the humble ones are scared to go near these judges and these leaders of the people, because they are out to take whatever they have. Therefore, when the Anavim, the humble people, they need to walk in a circuitous route to wherever they're trying to get to, in order to avoid passing by these people, because they don't want to be noticed. V'ish ve'aviv yelchu el ha'na'ara, and a man and his father will go to the young woman, leman chalel es shem kachi, in order to profane my holy name. It's a reference to the aver of na'ara ha'me'urasa. Na'ara me'urasa is the young woman who is betrothed and would then be forcibly taken by the man and his father, which is whenever the Gemara wants to portray really, really decadent and immoral behavior, it will talk about the aver of na'ara ha'me'urasa, taking a betrothed young woman, which the punishment for that is worse than regular adultery. Regular adultery, because a betrothed young woman is considered a married woman, and therefore it would be considered forcibly taking a married woman. So for that, for a married woman, the punishment is, I'm talking about for the man who forcibly takes the married woman, the punishment for that is chenek, is it's death, but it's death by strangulation, which is all death is bad, but that's a lower level death. Whereas the anara hamurasa, to take a betrothed young woman, is considered to be worse, more decadent, more immoral, and for that, the man gets skila, gets stoned. So whenever the Gemara wants to describe truly decadent behavior, it talks about a man and his father both taking anara hamurasa, because naturally, a father and son would not behave together like that. They should be embarrassed from each other. And if they're willing to do this sort of sin together, it shows they've thrown off all forms of shame, and the yoke of heaven have no interest at all in anything moral. And so that becomes the symbol of terrible behavior. So a man and his father will go to the Nara in order to profane my name. In fact, when the Gemara wants to really, really show truly immoral behavior, it will say a father and son forcibly took a Nara Hamurasa, a betrothed young woman, on Yom Kippur. That's the way the Gemara will, and the Gemara apparently has incidents where that has actually happened. So that's considered like the, you know, the worst of the worst of immoral behavior. So they did that. That was going on as well. Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Val bigadim chavulim yatu, and on clothing that has been taken as collateral, they will lean, means they'll use it. They'll use the clothing of the poor people who needed to borrow, so they will recline on these, on their clothing. Take the clothing, use them as like rugs to sit on and recline on when they're eating. Ein tzal kol mizbeach, next to all of the altars. These are altars that are illegal altars. These are altars that are for avodah zarah. V'yein anushim yishtu, and the wine for which they will be punished. They drink, meaning wine that will bring punishment upon them, they drink. Base Elohehem, in the house of their gods, as they worship Avodah Zarah. So the 10 tribes are being criticized for abusing the poor and the weak, the ones who are defenseless, the ones who are not able to defend themselves, they abuse them. For intensely immoral behavior, and for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. For all these things, they are being criticized, and this, for these things, Hashem says, I am not turning them away, which means I'm going to punish them. This is all part of the Arba'a Lo Ashivenu, and the fourth thing, I will not turn them away, meaning I am going to punish them now for their sins. Now here, starting with Pasuk Tes, is a little bit of a pause. It's a little bit of a change. Hashem is now going to talk about why they are beholden to Him, and why they really should not be behaving this way. So even though we have a few minutes left, I would like to stop here, because this is a good place to begin from next time with Pasuk Tes. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.